Welcome back to On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. Congress is sifting through President Trump's proposed budget, a $4.1 trillion blueprint that includes increased funding for the Departments of Homeland Security and Defense, cuts to Medicaid, food stamps, and disability benefits, and elimination of some programs, including the United States Institute for Peace and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. What does the president's budget mean for higher education and the looming cloud of student loan debt, which hovers at more than $1.3 trillion? Joining us from Washington, D.C. is Adam Harris, reporter for the Chronicle of Higher Education. He covers higher ed policy and historically black colleges. Welcome to On the Record.
How's it going?
What are some of the programs related to higher education that President Trump is putting on the chopping block?
You know, early on in the Trump administration, we've seen more shadow than substance. And Trump's budget eliminates several programs that are very troublesome to higher education advocates and observers. So you see the Public Service Loan Forgiveness Program, subsidized Stafford loans, supplemental educational opportunity grants, all of those would be eliminated. Also, it would phase out the National Endowment for the Humanities, National Endowment for Art, and other research, federal research grant issuing institutions such as the National Institutes of Health, which would see a 22% cut.
Big changes. Let me pick up on one in particular, public service loan forgiveness. The White House budget proposal calls for ending the practice of forgiving federal student loan debt for people who work in the public sector or in the public interest sector after they've made 10 years worth of payments. What is the reasoning behind this proposal?
Well, a lot of what the administration has been proposing is to eliminate what it thinks is bloat. The Public Service Loan Forgiveness Program has been bandied about for a number of months and years, but thinking about how it would actually be implemented was very difficult for policymakers. So the primary reasoning for eliminating the program, according to the administration, is that it gets rid of an unnecessary and an untold burden on taxpayer dollars.
Untold burden?
Yes, an untold burden in that, you know, each year, as the student loan debt bubble increases, there may be more people and more people going into these public service loan forgiveness programs or kind of enrolling, if you will, in the program, which would ultimately incur more of a burden on taxpayers.
As you imply, the idea has been out there. What kind of response does it seem to be getting from Republicans in Congress?
So there's actually been a rather muted response from many Republicans in Congress on the elimination of the program. Most of the response that we've seen has been from congressional Democrats and advocacy organizations who are upset with the elimination of this program. But largely, it's important to keep in mind that Congress ultimately approves the budget and sets spending priorities. So, you know, you saw Senator Lamar Alexander, the chair of the Senate Health, Education, Labor, and Pensions Committee, say that where they find good ideas in Trump's budget, they'll use them.
And the elimination of public service loan forgiveness, would this affect people already enrolled in the program?
This would not. So anyone who has borrowed or has certified for the program by July 1st, 2018, and has not changed their course of study or enrolled in a subsequent program, those people would remain enrolled. So they would be grandfathered into the program.
The administration's budget proposal also includes support for year-round Pell Grants, which are federal loans for undergraduate students with financial need. How is this different from how they work now?
Year-round Pell essentially allows students to attend school year-round and also receive that Pell funding. Congress actually approved that and the omnibus budget package very recently. So this was something that the Trump administration just rolled into their package. It wasn't in their initial budget proposal from March. So this is something new that they've kind of held on to.
But it would not result in more money for Pell Grants.
It would not. The Pell Grant program actually remains steady in mandatory funding, but you do see an elimination of some of the extra surplus funding that the Pell Grant had prior.
That's Adam Harris, a reporter for the Chronicle of Higher Education here on The Record on WYPR. I'm Sheila Cast. We're talking about changes in policy and budget that the Trump administration is proposing that would affect higher education. The Department of Education is changing how federal student loans are serviced. Education Secretary Betsy DeVos called the process inherited from the Obama administration, quote, cumbersome and confusing with shifting deadlines, changing requirements, and de facto regulations that at times contradicted themselves, close quote. So tell us about this reform effort.
So the effort, there are currently three finalists in the department's competition for choosing a new company to service its billion-dollar portfolio of student loans that it issues. So Navient, Great Net, and the Pennsylvania Higher Education Assistance Agency are the currently the three finalists. Once the department selects a single loan servicer, that entity would build a portal to service student loans, and they would also be the sole servicer of those loans. Ultimately, they would also be responsible for hiring out contractors to scale their loan servicing and be responsible for those subcontractors. So if there was any issue with loan servicing, the Department of Education would hold that single loan servicer responsible.
And the Trump administration says this would save a lot of money?
Save money, yes, but more so increase oversight. They say that by looking at one loan servicer as opposed to the multiple that they do now, they'll be able to concentrate more on how they're performing. Now, critics say that, sure, you can look at that one loan servicer, but then if that loan servicer is responsible for its subcontractors, then the Department of Education has less oversight of what those subcontractors are doing. And critics also say that this will ultimately create a too-big-to-fail situation.
21 state attorneys general, including Maryland's, sent a letter last month to Secretary DeVos about this. How much of a fight is this going to be?
I don't know that there will be that much of a fight. This was something that the creation of the portal was something that advocates were for. They wanted there to be a single portal for students to pay their student loan debt. The main difference here is that it'll be a single person servicing the loan. So essentially what those attorneys general were upset with was that when Secretary DeVos withdrew these loan servicing memos from the Obama administration that guided this procurement to better serve students and borrowers, they feared that there wouldn't be anything put in place to replace that. This is more of a wait-and-see scenario as to whether this will be a good thing or a bad thing.
The Trump administration has also proposed a single income-driven plan for repaying student loans, replacing the five current options. Tell us about this.
The income-driven repayment program allows people to pay their debt based on their amount of discretionary income. The Trump administration's program has actually been viewed positively by observers because it allows undergraduate borrowers to pay at 12.5% for less time. But for graduate borrowers, it ultimately increases their burden as they'll be paying 12.5% for a longer period of time. It ultimately ends up being 30 years. So this is sort of a mixed bag on income-driven repayment.
And given what pay scales tend to be in public interest jobs, is this income-driven repayment, is this where borrowers are likely to end up if loan forgiveness for public service jobs goes away?
Typically, borrowers would be eligible for these income-driven repayment plans, even with the public service loan forgiveness program in effect. So you could be paying into one of the income-driven repayment plans on the path to your public service loan forgiveness program, or ultimately when your loans are forgiven under the public service loan forgiveness program. This wouldn't necessarily change that. It would change the amount of time that the students would be paying off their debt.
I wish you'd help explain to me something that happened last week. I don't know how significant it is. Last week, the chief operating officer of the department's Office of Federal Student Aid, James Runcie, resigned. He was a holdover from the Obama administration, appointed in 2015 to a 5-year term. Why did Runcie resign?
Mr. Runcie, the chief operating officer of the Federal Student Aid Office, resigned because he thought that he was not able to do his job and run the Federal Student Aid Office in a direction that he saw fit. In his resignation letter, he actually said that he could not, in quote-unquote good conscience, continue to be accountable as chief operating officer, given the risk associated with the current environment at the department. Department officials said that it came down to his decision not to testify in front of the House Oversight Committee, to which Mr. Runcie said that he would consider testifying in quote-unquote less dire circumstances, as he had previously done, if not for the direction of the department and some of the simmering issues that have been going on.
And is it possible, or is it just too soon, to have any insight into what this means for federal student loans?
It's a little bit too soon to know. Some people are worried that this could trigger a exodus from the department, which we're not sure of at this point, but it leaves a lot of uncertainty.
I really appreciate you walking us through it. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Adam Harris is a reporter for the Chronicle of Higher Education. He covers federal education policy. Earlier, we spoke with Amy Hedgepeth of the American Association of University Women about its report, Deeper in Debt. We'll have a link to that, as well as to Adam Harris's reporting, at the On the Record page at WYPR.org. I'm Sheila Cass. Glad you've been listening. Hope you'll join us again tomorrow.